Matthew 15, start with verse 1. Before we read, did y'all hear these words in these songs? Can I tell you something? I think it's Proverbs 24:6. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think on is what you're going to live. What you think on is what you're going to believe. What you think on is what's going to control your life. I was listening to words on there, and they're saying them over and over again, hoping it clicks, hoping you get it, hoping you believe it. But you could sing it all day if you don't believe it. Do you belong to Him?
Yes.
Do you belong to Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to belong to Jesus?
Yes.
Does He belong to you?
Yes.
The enemy can't take what I have. All those songs, I could preach every one of those songs. I could just preach those songs for crying out loud, like all day. I could preach them. I'm just like, dude, listen to these songs. And it's always got to be Jesus. The only thing I wish they do in these songs more is the name Jesus. It's got to be in there. Because it's not just Lord, because it's not Lord Buddha or Lord anybody else. It's Jesus. Jesus. Jesus the Christ. God of all flesh. God in a body. God who loved me and pursued me. I didn't pursue Him. Matthew 15, pray. Lord, we're going to read Your word. And right now, we break agreement with everything outside of truth and everything outside of You, Jesus. We submit ourselves to You. We're asking You to open up Your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to see what You want us to see, that we can live what You want us to live. Jesus, we need our eyes and our understanding opened. Quicken this. Guide and direct every word spoken and heard. Lord, You give me so many thoughts. And I just pray they would flow in Your spirit. I submit myself to You. And I pray everyone in this room would right now submit themselves to You. And just say, I want You, Jesus. I don't want anything except truth. And I want all the truth, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. And you know, that is a thought. I just got to say this one. How much of Jesus do you really want? How we say we do, but then we say we want all of Him, but then we're confronted with a truth. And, oh, first thing we do, defend, argue, justify, explain, excuse, but, we become goats. How much of Jesus do we really want? Sue and I came up with a saying, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because of truths that God was bringing to us, we had gone as far as we could go. We wanted more of God, but we had gone as far as we could go that where our denomination that we were in was taking us or had taken us. Gone to Bible college 9 years, all this stuff, go start churches. And then God brought us into stuff and started confronting us with deeper truths. See, religion wants to kind of live on the surface of what you do. Relationship is about who you are, what's really down inside. When God started dealing with us, Sue and I came up with this saying. I don't know if you can say it or not, but I'm just going to share it with you. You might want to write it down and think about it, and maybe before your dying breath, you could say, that's for me. And it goes like this. I would rather see a truth that I hate than be deceived by a lie that I like. I would rather see a truth that I hate than be deceived by a lie that I like. That wasn't even in my notes. It was just free. Okay. How much Jesus do we really want? Okay. That's not what this is. I mean, I get that's what everything's about. But let's do Matthew 15. Are you ready? Does anybody need me to repeat that one more time? Okay, you got it? Good. Then, Matthew 15, start with verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God? By your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And, he said, he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, that man shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said to them, okay, they came to talk to me about eating with unwashing hands. He said, so let's deal with that. Hear and understand, he says, not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto Jesus, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught, into the toilet? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from your heart. And that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. I'm going to go back and do this the way I feel like he wants me to do it. So we got some religious leaders, and that's what this is about. Let them alone. Let the religious alone. If you have a title, that's it, brother. Let the religious alone. Now watch. Religion is a substitute for God, by the way. Pure religion is all about loving God and loving others. It says that in James chapter 1, the last verse. I believe it's verse 26 or 27. 27, I believe. That's when God tells what pure religion is. But the word religion and religious are in the Bible 6 times, I believe, and every time but one, when God brings it up, He's against it. Because religion is a substitute for God's way. God doesn't want us to have religion. He wants us to have relationship. God is love. And love is all about relationship. You can't be in love with rules. Okay? You can't have a relationship with rules. Okay? It's a person. He didn't die for rules. He died for people. That's what's important to God. All right, so here we go. You ready? So these religious people, and they were from the city of Jerusalem. Whoa, that must make them important. They came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples not keep these things that the elders have taught us to do? They're our religious leaders. They've taught us that we should. And he goes, well, what is it that they're doing? He goes, they eat without washing their hands. And he goes, wow, that's a big one. He said, I bet that would send them to hell, huh? I bet that's real important in the eyes of God that they didn't wash their hands. Like, whoa, what were they thinking? And my disciples, oh. Jesus goes, they said, why do they not keep the rules that the religious leaders put down? Transgress means to go beyond the limits. Why do your disciples, the people that follow you, do you know I have people that call me about you? Did you know that? I have people, they're a member of your church and they did this and they said that and they acted this way and they talked to me this way. I have people that do that through the years. Jesus had the same thing. How come your followers don't follow our leaders? Is there a clue there? And Jesus said, why do you not follow God? God said, honor your father and mother and don't curse your father and mother. But you say, whosoever says to his mother or father, hey, you're lucky to have me. Anything you get out of me being your child, it's a gift to you. I am a gift to you. Like the parents ought to look up to the kids. I wonder if this was written in 2018. And it says, and whosoever does not honor his father or mother, he shall be free. God says, no, you're in bondage. As a matter of fact, you deserve to die. That's one of the Ten Commandments. There are commandments in the Bible that to disobey them results in the death penalty with God. Well, there's people that disobey their parents, and why don't they die? Watch their life, and you'll see they're dead. They're dead to what's true. They're dead to what's God. A lot of them don't last long. I heard about a man, true story, a lady coming here, was in another church service of a church that we helped get started. So it's a little church, and one of the ladies coming, her son, her grown son, came, and this happened not too far from here, less than 40 miles from here. Came, and during the service, he kept interrupting and mocking and being disrespectful and had to say words. And he ended up leaving in the middle of the service. And as he drove down the road, he was speeding, again disobeying authority. And he lost control and his car wrecked and he died and went out into eternity. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe that's Galatians 6:8. I remember correctly. So these religious leaders come to Jesus and said, your followers aren't following our religious leaders. And he's like, duh. And they're like, they're not keeping the rules that we think, we think this is important. We think this is right. And he said, well, how come you don't obey God? He said, you say it's okay to disobey God and disobey your parents and to tell your parents that you're a gift to them and to dishonor your parents, and that actually sets you free. And you teach men this. He said, by doing this, pay attention, by doing this, what you think is right and you teach others, you're actually teaching them that what you think is right is above what God says is right. And then he says, you hypocrites. He said, Isaiah, by God, prophesied that this people draws near unto God with their mouth, and they honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from him. In vain they do worship me. Do you remember over in Matthew 7, 21 and 23? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, listen, I've never gotten over this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, Jesus, and cast out devils in thy name, Jesus? And in thy name, Jesus, they've done many wonderful works. We have. And Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. This is a message for babies. No, this is a hard message. But I've been asking God for a long time to help me understand something. Say, God, you brought me out of religion. You told me you're bringing me out of religion. And then you said you brought me into relationship. You opened my eyes. The whole Bible opens up differently. I see everything as relationship now. And then you told me you're going to have me involved with this thing that's going to cover the earth called relationship. Churches. And he said, and then you showed me that relationship and religion are like two rivers. They both call themselves Christian, but they never touch because they don't agree. They're like oil and water. They can't mix because this one is based on people's performance. This is based on man, what man has to say is right and wrong, and what man does to feel good about. I want to feel good about myself. And this one is based on the Word of God, not what man says. Doesn't matter if a million people believe this way. God is still right. It doesn't matter if 100 million people, or in the case of America, 380 million people believe this way. God is still right. And I've been saying, Lord, you haven't released us yet. But what you've told me you're going to do when you release us, we're going to affect so many people. You're going to affect so many people through us. I said, how are we going to do that? Now here, I want you to get this. Do not miss this. You want to write down, and this week I want you to meditate on Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. First of all, who does God love? I can't hear you. So like, he loves everyone. Now, he loves everyone that loves the truth. He loves everyone that does right. He loves everyone that's about relationship. Who does he love? So he loves the people that don't love him? I can't hear you.
Yes.
Does he love the people that are in religion? I'm sorry?
Yes.
Does he love the people that are wrong? Does he love the people that are opinionated? Does he love the people that are contentious and hard to get along with? Does he love the people that will never love him and are on their way to hell? All right. Now what I'm going to say to you is, who is the judge? I got one. Who is the judge that everybody answers to? God Almighty. Correct? Do they answer to us? If we ever judge somebody, is that okay? There's two kinds of judgment. Let's get this clear. There is a judgment where you condemn other people. You discern what's right and wrong, and then you condemn them. That only can be done by God. He is the one that everybody answers to. They don't answer to us. There's a second kind of judgment. And that kind of judgment is we are supposed to discern what's right and wrong so that we choose right. But if somebody else is choosing wrong, are we supposed to judge them and condemn them? Or are we supposed to love them? What if somebody is part of this group? I'm glad this isn't happening so that I can just be free to say it. What if somebody is part of this group, but they left us and they say stuff against us, or they want to, you know, condemn us or fault find with us? How should we treat them? Pray for them? With love? How do we reach sinners? With love? Kindness? Okay? Now follow what I'm going to say. Generosity. Truth. Loving them right where they're at. But loving them too much to leave them there. We're going to speak the truth in love as the Lord tells us. Just because we know a truth that they don't get doesn't mean we're supposed to tell them. We need to purpose not to tell them. For me, because I have this tendency to want to straighten people out. My sin, okay, that I have to fight. Okay, you ready? I'm just talking about me. Watch this. You know, it's me. Okay, you ready? Now, maybe you need to purpose in your heart that you're going to say something, because maybe some of you, God can hardly move you with a stick of dynamite. Okay? But I'm saying for me, I have to purpose not to say something. And the way I know it's God is because I say, okay, God, I'm not going to say that. Like, I'm thinking, this person is blind here. I'm just going to give them some truth that will help them. No. That's Harvey. That's my flesh wanting to straighten them out. And I say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to speak that. And then God says, I want you to speak it. I said, but I don't want to. He says, that's why you can speak it, because you don't want to. If you want to speak it, he said, that's your flesh. You got that test? Did you get that? If you want to straighten somebody out, you want to tell somebody off, you want to point out a truth that would help them, that's your flesh. But you admit that to God. God, this is what's in my heart, and I'm sorry I have judgment and condemnation and self-righteousness in my heart. Remember I said, how much of Jesus do you really want? How much of truth are you really willing to embrace? Uh-oh, don't write that one down. That would mess you up. Okay. How much truth are you really willing to embrace? So God, I'm self-righteous, I'm judgmental, and I want to straighten people out. Please forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me, and now I choose to forgive myself. Okay? And then he says, now, Harvey, I want you to say this to them. But Lord, That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I know, Harv. But Lord, I don't want to say it. He said, that's why you can say it now, because you don't want to say it. And you'll do it in humility. You'll speak it in love. You'll speak it in kindness. You'll be real tender when you give it. Because when you go to do it in the flesh, you're puffed up, you're proud, you're condemning, you're looking down your nose, you're pointing at them, and they feel all that. And it's hard enough to receive rebuke or reproof from God, let alone from a person. Is this helping anybody? Okay. Matthew 15, religious people came to Jesus. Why aren't your disciples washing their hands like before they eat? Like they're not keeping the rules. That's so important. You know, I had people that said that to me when I was over in Israel. They said, do you keep all the commandments? And I said, it's my desire to. And they were screaming at me, do you pray when you eat? I said, well, I pray before I eat. I often pray while I'm eating. And then I often pray after I eat. And they started screaming at me that I wasn't keeping one of the commandments. Because there's 613 of them, if I'm correct. Besides the 10, there's 613 in the, well, they take it out of the law, but they turn them into rules like you have to live by this like real rigid thing. And if you don't do one of them, oh, I'm terrible. No, you know, I've broken the commandment of God. No, God is setting up all those things and they're all in love. The fulfilling of the commandment is to love. And it's so that we don't hurt one another. And it's so that we have a right attitude toward each other and God. That's what all these rules are about that God gave us. So let's go back and just say this. Well, I'm going to go on. And he said, and then you worship me, but you do it in vain. There are people today in religion that are worshiping God in vain. Means it's empty. Means it doesn't touch the heart of God. He doesn't receive worship from it. But they say, hey, we're offering you worship. You ought to receive this. And he's like, it's dead. It's not really from your heart. You're just going through actions. Everybody stands up, so you stand up. Everybody raises their hand, so you raise your hand. You sing, but it's not in your heart. Because as soon as you leave, you're yelling at your spouse or your kids. And you go out and you just do everything to please yourself. I'm not your focus and you're not others minded. He said, it's all vain. It doesn't matter if you say it in my name. And I've said to God, God, what happens when you release us? There's all these people that are in religion. I meet them all the time. And he says, Harvey, I want you to love them where they're at. I don't want you to judge them or condemn them or the group that they're part of. He said, but I want you to speak the truth that I give you to speak to them. And you don't need to worry. I will give you the words at that moment of what to say. He says, but if they're not planted of my Father, they don't have fruit that lasts. They don't have fruit that lasts. You'll find that, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if I want to say it. It might be chapter 3. And it talks about that we're going to be, our works are going to be judged. And it says, wood, hay, stubble, silver, gold, precious stones. See, silver, gold, precious stones, when you put fire to them, they only get better. They become 24 karat instead of 10 karat or whatever it is. Okay? The fire takes away the impurities. But wood, hay, and stubble, when you put fire to them, they burn up. There's nothing left. There's a lot of people that are offering, making offerings to God, but they don't last. We need to offer what's important, what he says. Whatever he says is important. And Jesus then goes on to explain, and we're not going to talk about this a lot, but he says, not that which goes into your mouth. He said, they want to talk to me about eating and washing your hands. He said, watch this. That's not even important, because what goes into your mouth, it just comes out the backside. Comes in the front side, goes out the backside. Give it a little while. It'll come out. He said, and you flush it. He said, but what defiles a man? What makes a man unclean is what comes out of his mouth. Because what comes out of his mouth comes from his heart. When a man speaks, he reveals what's inside of him. People talk about what they're full of. Okay. Now let's go back, because I want to read you a couple things and say a couple things and whatever God wants here. Hypocrites. If you look in, I can give you different places, but Matthew 23:3, it says, when Jesus is talking about religious leaders, he says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. What's a hypocrite? One who says but doesn't do what they say. Brother Harvey, does that mean I'm a hypocrite? Because I say I want to serve Jesus, but then I don't serve Jesus. No, it doesn't make you a hypocrite unless it's really in your heart not to serve Jesus. If it's in your heart you want to serve Jesus, there is a process and you're going to keep falling and making mistakes. But is your face toward Jesus, you want him? Or is your back toward Jesus and you're after something else? A hypocrite is one who says, Sue, would you like a cup of coffee? Yes, I would. Okay, I'll get you one. But then I never move. Harvey, you gonna get me coffee? Oh yeah, yeah. But I don't ever get up. That's a hypocrite. One who says and does not. Now, if she said, Harvey, were you gonna get me? Oh yeah, I'm sorry. And then I get up and go get it. I could have a bad memory. I could have got distracted. You know, attention span of a gnat. You know, throw the stick. Got to chase the stick. Yes, I can get distracted. But when she brings it to my mind, oh yeah, and I get up. I'm sorry. Let me get it for you. That's not a hypocrite. One is a hypocrite who says and does not. It's only words. Okay? So these guys come to Jesus and they question him. Number one, why were they questioning Jesus in the first place? They thought they knew what was right. Do we think we know what's right? They had based their beliefs, their lives, on someone's words, someone's opinion. What they heard or had been taught by someone. So they had these ideas of what was right and wrong, and they come to Jesus questioning him. There are people that question God today. God, why do you do this? God, why do you say that? Why does the preacher do this? Why does he say that? Why do the Christians do this? I think okay, so these religious people were coming to Jesus and questioning him. And I think it's funny what they were questioning him about was so important. Washing your hands before you eat. So here's a few more questions. So who are we following? What do we think is right or truly right? Where did we get that from? Where did we get that idea of what's right and wrong? Well, my dad said, my mom said, Well, my teacher said, well, my pastor said, I'm sorry, are any of them equal to God? Or are any of them God? Could they make mistakes? We should obey. God puts leaders into our life and we ought to obey authority. But we ought to obey authority unless in so doing we disobey God. Sometimes authorities will tell us stuff, but it doesn't agree with God. So who do we follow? Yeah, but we all think we're right, don't we? If everybody in this room, don't you think you're right about your beliefs? Okay. So who are we following? Where did we get that idea? What do we think is truly right? Here's one. What is the foundation of our beliefs? What are we really basing our lives on? How about this? Will it stand the test of time? So they said, we're questioning you, Jesus. Why do your disciples do this thing that we think they're not doing right? And he said, well, why do you not obey God so that you can follow your leaders? Why are you following your leaders instead of God? Isaiah 58:2 says, yet, he says, I want you to lift your voice like a trumpet in verse 1, and I want you to proclaim to my people where they've messed up, where they've sinned. He says, they seek me daily. Now hear me. These are religious people. Please hear me on purpose. This is important for you, okay? It's very important for me. I think it's important for you. Jesus said, these religious people, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, as if, you know, we're doing right. And they forsook not the ordinance of their God. They tried to keep all the rules. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. What's right, God? They take delight in approaching to God. They pray. But if you read Isaiah 58, you'll find out that Jesus rebukes the people there. He said, you're doing all these things and you look like you're following me. You sound like you're following me. But it's all about religion, not relationship. We all think we're following God in all areas of our life, but what does the Word of God say? Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered and said, when he was fighting the devil, by the way, John, he said, it is written, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He says, do you know what the most important word in that verse is to me? Do you know what the most important word in that verse? What do you think? Look at verse 4, Matthew 4:4. What do you think the most important word in that verse is? Shall not live by bread alone. What do you think the most important word in that verse is? God. Okay. Of course, God's most important, right? That's got to be the most important word in that verse. That's right. If you only get one word, that's it. It's got to be God, right? What do you think the most important word in that verse is? Can I tell you what I think it is? It, at least what God keeps making important to me, jumps out and shouts, doo-doo, doo-doo, this is me. I mean, he wants me to look at it. You know what that verse is? The word is every. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every. Not because it's about keeping the rules, but it's about keeping his heart. Having God's perspective, seeing things from God's point of view, seeing people from God's point of view. God, give me your heart for everybody you bring in my life. Help me to see them through your eyes. Because it's easy for me to see faults in other people. How about you? Can you see where they're messing up? Can you see where they ought to straighten up? Can you see if they just follow you, everything would be okay? They'd be, you know, life would be better. They did everything your way. But that's what we think. We just don't want to admit that. How much of Jesus did we really want? Oh, yeah. How much were we willing to embrace? Okay. Ready? Now I want you to look at Luke 10:26. I think it's really noteworthy what Jesus said there. He's talking to the rich young ruler who comes to him, who claims to have kept all of God's commandments from his youth up. And Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" What does the word have to say about what you're saying, what you're talking about? What does the word have to say? What does the word have to say? All right, now you ready? So number one, what does the word of God have to say about your opinion, your idea, your ways, your thoughts, the way you're acting, the way you're talking to people? And number two, what does the Holy Spirit, who if you belong to Jesus lives inside of you, what is he bearing witness to in your heart and in other people's hearts concerning this? We're going to look up five verses. You ready? Romans 8:14. You might just want to write them down. I'll read them to you. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The ones that are led by the Spirit. John 16:13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he, the Spirit of truth, shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So let's watch this. "When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." John 16:13. Next one, John 14:17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Spirit of truth. That's why, one of the reasons I ask you, how much of Jesus do you really want? The Spirit of truth. John 15:26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me," Jesus. The Spirit of truth is always going to uplift Jesus, point to Jesus. In the last two verses that are, you know, in one place, 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness," or rings true inside of you, "because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." That's why we believe in the Trinity. Three in one. Three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, one God. Are we following, Jesus said, but you say? Here's what God said, but you say. So my question is, are we following a man's opinions, or are we following and serving man or God the Creator? Two verses. Romans 6:16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" He said, when you yield yourself to follow somebody, you become their servant. And he said, and if you serve sin, it's going to take you to death. And if you serve obedience, it's going to take you into righteousness. Thank you, Brother Harv. You're welcome. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Or like I tell my workers, you cannot serve me and the customer. I said, you work for me and I work for the customer. When the customer tells you to do something, you better call me, because if you don't do what I tell you, I don't care what the customer said. If you don't do what I tell you, you're going to get in trouble. Have you ever heard that? Yes. And have you ever not done it and messed up and, you know, because the customer tried to get you to do something that I didn't tell you to do? And
maybe once. Try not to ever.
I'm not saying it to condemn you. I'm saying it because here's what happens. I send my guys, I ask the customer, what do you want? And they tell me, and I write it down on the work order. And this is what we're going to charge to do what we just agreed to do. We get there and the customer says, since you're here, could you do this? Could you do that? Just throw it in. I don't want you doing it that way. I want you doing it this way. And I said, if they say anything but what I've taught you, what are you supposed to do? Call me! And I'm going to tell you, nope, you do what I tell you. And I said, he says, but the customer said, I said, give me their phone number. I normally have it. I said, I'll call the customer, but until then, you do what I tell you. I don't care what they said. You do what I tell you because you work for me. And if you don't do what I say, you're not going to work for me. I said, you do what I say. And if the customer tries to change it, I said, I will call the customer and deal with the customer. And the customer says, well, I want this done. And I think we ought to do that. I said, if you want to do that, go ahead. We'll just leave and let you do it. Oh, no, I want you to do it. I said, that's not how we do it. We've done 125,000 of them. How many have you done? Well, I haven't, but I think... I said, okay, we'll charge an extra $50. Do you want to do it your way? Do you want us to do it your way? No, I'd rather you do it your way. I said, thank you. You see what I'm saying? It's real simple. You can do it. Let me do it my way. And this is what I'm going to charge you. If you want me to do it your way, I'm going to charge you an extra $100. Do you want to pay an extra $100? No. I said, then we'll do it my way. Either that or I can leave. Which do you want us to do? Say it as kindly as I can. But one thing I think my customers will tell you, I'm clear. They get it. I try to make it real clear and real plain and real simple. Even put it in writing and send it to them as an email. And then when we get there, we give them a whole 8.5 by 11 warranty. And it's all in writing. And then people don't know what it says. And they call me and say, I'm disappointed. It didn't work. I said, why? Well, we did this and this happened. I said, that's not what the warranty says. I said, you didn't follow the warranty. I can't warranty what you're doing. I said, there's two parts to a warranty. Just tells us. So there's two parts to a warranty. There's a part that we say we'll keep, but there's something you have to do for us to keep it. And if you don't do what we say, then we're not backing up what you do. How do you like the results of your choice? Oh, you don't like that? Well, if you choose my way, everybody else doesn't have a problem. Well, I think that's fine. Are we done? Well, what are you going to do? I said, I can come and fix it, but I'm going to charge you because you didn't follow the warranty. Well, I don't like that. I'm sorry. You want me to warranty? I can't warranty what everybody does. I know what works. Everything has limits. I said, when I got my brand new truck, within 2 weeks it already had dents on the side. I didn't put them there. And I tried to park away from other people. But they still put dents in my truck. Am I supposed to take it back to Toyota and say, here, fix it because there's dents? They didn't do it. It's not part of the warranty. And she says, it's like the grandkids. They come over here and they want to do something. And I say, okay, you could do that. They said, but Mama said I can't. I said, well, then you can't. You know, it doesn't matter what I say. I said, you didn't tell me what mama said. I said, because mama supersedes me. You do what mama says.
What happened when they did what you said?
When they did what I said instead of what mama said, they got in trouble and I got in trouble. Okay? Both of us got in trouble. I said, I said, if mama's told you something, we used to tell our kids, if she says no, don't you come to me trying to get a yes or the other way around. Because they tried that. We had five kids doing that all the time. Till we put a stop on that. Now, if I go to dad, he'll say no. His answer is always no. So I'll go to mom. What'd your dad say? Well, I didn't want to. You go ask your dad. I don't want to. He'll say no. That's the answer. You know? God told me this a long time ago. I think it was in early 90s. Choose and cooperate are two of the most important words in the Christian walk. The word choose has three verses. Joshua 24:15. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but it says, but as for me, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And at the end of the verse, it says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, this other guy, is God, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. He said, why do you stand at a crossroads? He said, either follow God or follow the devil. Who are you going to follow? Who's going to be your God? Who are you going to serve? And the people were afraid to answer. Because see, they wanted to follow the devil, but they knew he was wrong. But they didn't want to follow God. I don't want to. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, now we're talking about choosing. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The word Lord means who rules us. Our Lord, Master, Boss, the one who's on the steering wheel of our life, the one who calls the shots in our life. Somebody earlier at the table, whose initials are John, said, but I don't want to do that. We said, well, what if God wants you to do that? He said, well, I have to do it, but I won't like it. I said, as long as you do it. Now we're going to talk about the word cooperate. Romans 6:13. You don't have to go there, but if you want to, that's fine. I'm just going to read you some things. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The word yield means to give the right away. Did Jesus die for you? So does Jesus bought you? He redeemed you? Because you sold yourself into sin, correct? And Jesus bought you, and now Jesus owns you, right? Is that correct? That means he has the right of way. He's the Lord of your life, or you're the Lord of your life? I can't hear you. We need to say these things. We need to get these things inside of us and say them out loud. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. You see what I'm saying? Now, yield, Jesus, just like you're going to pull on a highway. The cars that are already there, they have the right of way. You have to wait until you can fit in. God has the right of way. He has the express way. And you have to wait until he lets you fit in. Where do I fit in, God? I yield. I give you the right of way in my life. So it says, don't yield your members, don't yield your body as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin. Don't give your body to the devil and say, here, you can use my body to sin. It said, but yield your members, yield your body as an instrument of righteousness unto God. God, what would you like to do with this body? Just so you know, I say that to him every single morning. Verse 16 of Romans 6. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It says, do you not know that to whoever you yield yourself or give yourself to obey, you become their servant? If you're around people and they say, somebody I know was around some people and they said, let's go steal a car. And he's like, okay. So he ended up calling me from jail because they went and stole a car. Somebody says, let's go steal a car. And I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not going to say, no, I don't want to, and then stay around them. Because if I keep hanging around them, I'm going to end up doing what they're doing, or we can't. Because two people, how could two walk together except they'd be in agreement? And if you hang around with people that lie, in your heart, you have to justify that it, why they lie. Oh, I understand. It's because of this, and it's okay for them to lie. Well, if you make it okay for them to lie in your heart, make it okay for you to lie in your heart. You got to be careful who you hang around. That's why, if you'll notice, wherever I go, I'm not trying to do this to be selfish, but I take over wherever I go. Because I'm not going to let other people run my life. Because I don't want to live at the level they live at. You understand? So if I go somewhere, I'm going to control the conversation. Because I'm going to talk about Jesus. I don't want to talk about feathers and world and, you know, what the weather looks like. I don't want to talk about all that junk. If you want to talk about it, that's okay. But I'm not hanging around. I'm not saying you got to do everything I'm doing. I'm just trying to tell you, we become like what we associate with. And who do you yield yourself to be a servant of? Be careful. And then, let's look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because God wants to have mercy on you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. Kill me, God. Okay, it's all done. No, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm alive, but I've laid my life down. I have no rights. I've told him, God, if you want my head cut off, if that would bring you honor and glory, then I will cooperate when they come to cut my head off. If you want me to be crucified, okay, I will be crucified. If you want me to preach, I will preach. If you want me to be quiet and sit there and let her preach, or one of you, I will do that, Lord. Not what I want, but thy will be done. These words have changed my life. I embrace humility. I want to only live in your kingdom, Jesus. Jesus is a kingdom of humility. Does that mean I never get proud? No. What it means is I don't agree with being proud. When it comes to my attention, I repent of it, confess it out loud, ask people around me to forgive me, ask Jesus to forgive me, because I embrace humility, because Jesus has a kingdom of humility, never pride. The last verse we're going to talk about. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Doctrines are teachings of God. And he says, in vain. So why are we talking about this? Because there are religious people. People that are in religion. Now understand, we're not mad at them. Do you understand? We're not judging them. We're not condemning them. But if religion and relationship are like oil and water, we can't run with them because they don't mix. They can't do the same thing. I've had some preachers that as the years have gone by and God has shown us relationship truths, I would share them with these ministers. They love the ideas that I'm sharing with them for a while. But they love the ideas. And then they try to take them and fit them into their religion, and it doesn't work. Relationship is not feeling good about yourself. What would make you feel good, God? Can you hear those words? What if you found yourself saying those words? What would please you, Jesus? What would make you feel good in what I'm doing or saying or thinking? What would honor you? Religion is all about feel good. I helped build a hospital. I want everyone to know. Yes, I'm very humble about it. I helped build a hospital for children, needy children. I gave to the missionaries. I want everyone to know. I gave. I did this. I did that. I do this. I feel good about myself. Is it about feeling good about yourself? Because that's pride. God will help you to feel good about it. Can I ask a question? Do you ever do this? When you're walking through the grocery store or outside the grocery store, do you ever see a lady needing help picking something up? Have you ever stopped and helped her? Did you need to go and tell everybody that you did it, or did you already feel good when you did it? And she was thanking you, and you said, I didn't do it to be thanked, but I appreciate that, but I just want to help you. At that moment, you allowed God to live through you. God is others-minded. We are selfish. I see some people, they'll see it and they turn away because they stay over here, got to do it, and they don't want to do it. You know what he's having me do? For a while now, every time I go to the grocery store, he has me look for carts to take up front. Carts out, you know, where people put them in front of the cars or in the parking spot or in between cars or up against somebody's car. Every single time he shows me carts. Now, he told me I don't have to walk across the place to find one. And every now and then, I don't have to take a cart. But who cares? I'm walking that way anyway. If everybody returned carts, they wouldn't have to pay people to go fetch carts. And guess what? Maybe our costs would go down a little bit. What I'm trying to say is, when I was a Boy Scout, they had a saying, leave the campsite cleaner than you found it. But we didn't leave that trash there. Could you pick it up? Would it be better if we picked it up so the next people wouldn't have a dirty campsite? If you do more than you get paid for, one day you get paid for more than you do. Or are we just trying to keep the law? I did what was expected. No more. Remember the talents? One talent, two talents, five talents. I did what was expected. I put it in there for interest. You didn't use it, did you? Nope, I buried it. He said, then we're going to take that from you. What? He said, you're not doing anything with what I give you. I'm not going to give you more. You're unfaithful in little. I can't make you ruler over much. Why are we talking about this? I'm really glad you asked. Because I felt like God wanted us to. Yesterday, I'm reading my Bible. I was like, where do you want me to read? And he said, the next chapter. And right now, I'm reading through Matthew again. And I'm in Matthew 15. And I love Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. Okay, or 8, whatever it is. I love those verses. I've shared them with a lot of people. Because it talks about religion versus relationship. It talks about, are we following man or following God? And I'm reading it, and God shows me, I don't remember what verse it was, I think it was around verse 12 or 13, and it said these words, let them alone. And that answered something for me, because I said, God, what happens when you release us? And there's all these religious people that want us to go be part of them. And he says, I've called you to relationship. I want you to stay with relationship, and I don't want you to compromise to get the favor of religious people. He said, I don't want you to condemn them. I don't want you to straighten them out. I want you to be true to relationship. And there's people that are going to come and question you. Why do you do this and why don't you do that? Because people already do and have for years. Because this is what God told me. Would you do this? I'll pray about it. God, do you want me to do that? I'm putting it on a shelf. You want me to do that? Let me know. When God wants you to know something, you think he could get through? I just want to know. Do you think God could get through? Does God ever do this with you? Steve, I don't want to think about that. It's okay. You don't have to think about it. But I want to, Steve. We just had somebody talk about starting a church. And somebody that we knew through Burning Bush and is involved. And was talking about somebody starting a church today. And wanted us to come and be a part of it. And on the one hand, I believe I want to encourage them. I want to encourage whatever God. But on the other hand, I just kept having this check in my spirit, and I didn't know why. Talked to Sue. We both, it was the same exact thing we're both going through. And we said, Lord, we're willing. And finally, I got to a place. You ever struggle with God? Or is everything real easy for you? Because it's hard for me sometimes. So as I was struggling with God, which took a few hours. Harv, you know. Finally, I said, okay, God, if you want us, I tell you what, God, I'm going to go unless you tell me no. And as soon as I said that, I had a check, like, that's not what God wanted. And I couldn't even wait 2 minutes. And I finally said, no, I'm going to say it the other way. Because I said it, told Sue that. That's what I'm going to do. And as soon as I said it out loud, you know, or said it to God, I couldn't have peace. I said, God, I'm not going to go unless you want me to go. And I put it on the shelf. I never thought about it again. The whole day went by, and Sue said, the way I feel, I don't think I can go. I said, Sue, I'm not going. It's never even come to my mind. If it was God, he'd bring it to my mind. I said, I feel strings on me to go, but I don't feel God telling me to go. It's not somebody who ever attended here, okay? I'm just trying to say that somebody was starting a church. That's dear to my heart. Right. And somebody that we've ministered in their life a lot or a bit. No, but all I'm just trying to say is and you may say, but Brother Harvey, they do this and they have this fruit in their life and they have that. If you can go there, go. If you have peace with that. But what God told me was, let them alone. Because I've been struggling with this. Because I've already been, we already were in full-time ministry all over the country. And I said, Lord, what are you going to do when you release us? Because you've told us you're going to have us do this thing that's not going to be part of religion. It's going to be a whole different stream. Here's religion, what they call Christian religion, encircling the earth. He said, but what you're going to be part of is relationship that encircles the earth. And they never touch. They don't agree. I said, well, what happens when I... He said, you love them. You present any truth or say to them anything I tell you to say, but you don't become part of them. You don't hang out with them. You don't... That's not what I want. I brought you out of that. That doesn't... I'm not throwing stones at them. They don't answer to me. They answer to God. But Brother Harvey, I think... Then you go if you want to follow them. I can't. I'm letting you know this for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, except God put it on me to talk about this. I'm not against anybody. I try to love everybody. I find myself loving people that don't love God, that are oppositional to God. I went somewhere yesterday to buy something, and a lady said, I don't even know how it happened. Somehow I started talking about God. And she says, my dad was real religious, and he crammed it down my throat and turned me off. And I said, I'm sorry. And then I went on saying whatever. And at the end, she said, you're going to make me cry. Tears start coming to her face. She said, as she's crying, she says, I want to thank you for sharing with me today. There's nothing wrong with sharing the word. Everybody needs to hear what you're saying. Now, I don't know if she can now go to church or something, but one of the things God had me say was, as if I were her, God, I want to forgive my dad so that there's nothing between him and me. He didn't do it maliciously. And yes, he was overboard, but so was this guy Harvey was overboard. I said, could you see how I could be overboard? She goes, oh, yeah. And I said, so God, I want to forgive my dad because he didn't do it on purpose. He just got excited and he didn't know how to do it in balance. So I want to forgive him so there's nothing between him and me, and I want to forgive him so there's nothing between you and me. And she thanked me for that. Now, what I'm saying is, isn't that what we're supposed to be as peacemakers? Amen. I didn't try to explain him, make excuses. I just agreed with our adversary quickly. I said, I'm over the board. I'm over the top a little bit myself. I said, I think they got it by watching me. They got that saying. I said, I used to grab people and throw them up against the wall and tell them, you need Jesus. I said, I've tackled people. I said, I've chased people. She's laughing her head off. Do you understand? Relationship versus religion. Just because they name the name of Jesus, just because they seem to be, doesn't necessarily mean it's God. Okay? But we're not judging them. We're not mad at them. We're not condemning them. We're not cutting them off. We're loving them. And we're committing them unto Jesus. But that's not who we're supposed to run with. And what they do, it may sound good and look good, but if God isn't telling you to follow them, don't do it. Okay?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, this was a hard message today. I knew it would be. And it was probably a long message because anytime I talk, it's long. But you know what, Lord? We said we want truth. We said we want Jesus. We said we'd rather see a truth that we hate than be deceived by a lie that we like. We said we wanted all of Jesus, not the part that feels good, not the part we agree with, but we want all of you. Thank you for being true. Help us to walk in balance as we walk with you. Thank you for loving us. Help us to be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit. Help us to see others through your eyes and to have your heart toward others, Jesus. That's what we want. You are the kindest person we've ever met, Lord. Amen.